It's the Observation Deck with Gordo, brought to us by Tylock Nasser Vision and Generator Supercenter.
Thank you. Tell you, there is an interesting thing that happened. I think this was about a week ago. It was a meteorite that blasted through someone's bedroom in New Jersey.
Dang.
And it happened on the morning of July 16th. Oh, this was a couple years ago is when this happened. This is the news story about it was a week ago. But this meteor streaked through the sky above New York City, explodes mid-flight, and then part of it crashes through the roof of this home in Hillsborough, New Jersey. But now that scientists have examined it, this dude, by the way, opens the door to the bedroom, sees the hole in the ceiling, and sees the glowing rocks all around the bedroom.
Did you imagine
the bedroom.
That would freak you out?
Said the whole scene smelled like rotten eggs.
God, what a scene from a sci-fi movie.
I know. It was covered in black soot. And there were these several rocks around there. So they put the rocks together and weighed them. It was roughly 3 pounds of meteorite. And they tested it and found that it contained some of the building blocks of life. But yet it came from another world. It had amino acids and other organic compounds, as well as evidence of salty water. So, there may be other worlds.
Interesting.
Other worlds that are developing artificial intelligence and losing their desire to explore things because they can just lay in their bedrooms and watch stuff. So, that happens. It has to happen to every advanced civilization that has freedom. Because basically what we will use our freedom on is to service our animal pleasure centers. Just sit around and have dopamine spikes and get orgasms. Anyway. So, meteorite containing building blocks of life. Also, interesting little note as we observe the world here in the observation deck. CD sales in the United States went up by 16% in the first half of this year, first 6 months of this year. And it is stronger growth than vinyl sales, which increased only 2.4% over the same time period last year. Now, why is this happening? Well, it's a lot of young people collecting CDs.
That never used them before, or
the strange thing is,
remember them as a kid and they have nostalgia about it.
I think never used them before. And the strange thing is, most of them don't even use them now. It's about the collectible aspect of it.
Okay.
But to a lot of other young people, it's also the fight back against the system that they've been born into, that we want you to subscribe to everything.
Mm-hmm.
So you never actually have physical ownership of any media. You just have to keep paying for your ownership of something that you've already bought.
Yeah.
And if you cancel your account with us, then you lose your music. But now they like the CDs and having the physical object. And K-pop has been a driving influence of this, because most K-pop releases are on CD. It's become a thing in that genre of music to come out with, you know, you'll have an album and it'll have many different covers and maybe different booklets inside them, you know, for each band member perhaps, or, you know, that that thing that they used to do of, I used to do that back with albums. Remember Kiss did that. When they all had, well, those were all different albums. They were all their solo albums. But you know what I'm talking about? When they have a few different collectible album covers for the same music.
I'm trying to think of the last time I listened to a CD.
Man, I can't tell you.
And then there were a lot of audiophiles that I read commenting on this, that they buy CDs and then rip them for a great quality sound rather than the thinned out streaming sound.
They do sound better.
Yeah. But yeah,
used to
young
rag
people
on CD sound though.
Me?
You. I just, you know.
Yeah, people would say it's not as warm as vinyl.
Yeah, that was compressed.
But yes, there is a retro trend among young listeners, in 2021, the figures for Gen Z reporting listening most often to music from the 1990s or earlier, in 2021, it was 18% listened to music from the 1990s or earlier. And now 60% of Gen Z says that they listen most often to music from the 90s or before. And that's been a real surprising thing to me. Because it seemed like when we were kids, other than maybe the Beatles, you really didn't want to listen to old music. It's like that just all felt ancient and out of date and unhip and okay boomer.
Yeah, there's a little bit of an age difference between us and you, but I can remember the 70s, the 50s, especially with Happy Days, had like a resurgence and
of young people liking that stuff, or
yeah.
See, I don't remember that. I remember, and, you know, yes, when I was a kid, we used to listen to my parents' music because they had control of the tape player, and I liked some of it. Willie Nelson, Jim Croce, you know, some of those artists, Waylon. I like that stuff, but that's not the stuff that I was bragging to my friends I listened to. Mm-hmm. It was always the latest Smiths album or XTC or U2 or some current band.
Yeah.
Right.
But now kids,
it just goes in cycles. I mean, yeah, that makes sense to me. And if you see commercials now, I think it's interesting. The music of the 90s is
huge
in commercials.
Yeah. Yes. And you're probably right, Giorgio, because usually everything is cycles, right?
Yeah.
Culture is nothing but a series of overcorrections, and we got to move way this way, and then we move way this way, and so on. But I do wonder how durable this cycle of it is, because it doesn't feel like there's as much new music being produced by organic bands as much as the almost scientized, businessized thing of music, to where there's just more single artists that come out with stuff and they're done by committees and it's a whole project. And there's
that, but I would say
it feels like the 90s and maybe the early aughts were kind of the tail end of the organic homegrown band that was signed out of nowhere and not developed.
Yeah. There's a lot there. I do think maybe now more than ever, there's so much music out there, and there's so many different ways to get it out there. And yeah, there is a lot of, and now we're putting AI into that of, okay, yeah, let's come up with this sound. And but at the same time, there are so many scenes, and there's just so much music out there. It's almost overwhelming sometimes. It's hard to keep up.
Well, and I think that's what benefits this older music, is because it's interesting that becomes a common touchstone for everyone. Mm-hmm. It's like, in order to have any kind of music in common with anybody, you've got to go to something that has already gained some escape velocity, like an old Fleetwood Mac song that becomes popular on TikTok for whatever reason.
Right.
I mean, it's just insane that all that old music,
I know,
is known by all these younger people, because it's used, it becomes the flavor of the month song on TikTok, so they get familiar with it.
I had a couple of long drives on summer vacation, and I've kept satellite radio mainly for those long drives. If I'm driving around Dallas-Fort Worth, I listen to The Ticket. But on these long drives, and I've got Spotify, but I just don't know where to start there.
They'll tell you.
So there are a couple of
our
stations
has chosen this
on satellite that give me new music. And so I'll listen to those for a while to figure out if I like anything new. But invariably, after about 30 or 40 minutes, I go to one of the classic stations. This time I listened a lot to a station called The Bridge, which was all 70s music, which reminded me of growing up.
Yeah.
So we kind of, the new music, some of it's good, some of it I don't think is very good. But I don't know if the old music is all good or if it's just comfortable
familiar. Yeah.
Yeah. You listen to the Yacht Rock?
Yes, I like that station.
The only problem with it is I think their roster is only like 40 deep.
Yeah.
On Yacht Rock?
Yeah. But, I mean, great tunes.
So CD sales going
up. That's amazing.
And then what an amazing, amazing coincidence. So there's this family that was vacationing in, I think they were in San Diego. And this family, they have like 30 members. So they rent out this big house. They were celebrating granddad's 80th birthday. And they're in this San Diego Airbnb house. Well, they're looking around at the decorations in the house, and there's a big photo that's framed on the wall, you know, just it was kind of a beach scene. And one of the 26-year-old members of the family is looking at this photo and says, you know, hey, Dad, this kind of looks like you in this picture. And it was a beach scene and shown from, you know, kind of far away. It was taken from like a balcony that was pointing down towards the beach. And you get like a, I don't know, about 100-foot view of the beach with the beachgoers there playing in the sand, frolicking in the sand. And then another one of the siblings walks over and says, oh, my goodness. And that looks like you. And so they start pointing it out and they realize that this photo was of them on the beach, taken during a previous San Diego trip from, I think it was 15 or 20 years before.
Wow.
Wait, what?
And it was a photographer who had, you know, who basically took pictures and did art and sold prints. And the people who owned this Airbnb, they had put this framed photo in several of their Airbnb properties as decoration, and it just so happened to be
that is so
of the family
wild.
That actually rented the property a couple decades later.
Wow.
Dang.
Wouldn't that freak you out and make you think you're in some kind of weird Black Mirror episode if you
yes.
looked and you noticed that the decoration in the place was all about you and your family?
Yeah, that's bizarre.
Through the years, as if you've been watched. But yeah, they contacted the owners of the Airbnb who put them in touch with the photographer, and they bought a copy of that print for their own home.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say it was the grandfather beer chugging from a spring break like 30 years ago or something.
When he was a young man.
It's been 50 years ago, yeah.
Or him macking down with a bunch of girls.
I thought you were going to say it was
exposed.
The dad with a different family that he
how creepy would that,
that he had never told the other family about.
Didn't that constantly happen to Willard Scott or something?
It was okay, Charles Kuralt, wasn't
it? Yeah, I think so. Willard Scott. Why is he taking astray?
And also Dollar Bill on Billionaire.
What?
That show on HBO Max.
I've never seen that. Isn't that the one that Mark Cuban's always on?
He was on it, yeah. It was a good show until it wasn't.
Mm.
They kind of jumped the shark.
Aren't most shows like that?
Seems like it.
I have that experience with shows. I'm into them, and then I just kind of, yeah, okay.
They kind of run out of ideas. Yeah. And
do you ever get
probably should have just been two seasons.
The sunk cost thing of, oh, I've stayed with it this long.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's that.
I feel bad about quitting it. We only got 2.5 more seasons. Let's just keep going.
What is it, your friends and neighbors? John yeah. Hamm, you watched that? I was really into that, and now I'm just kind of like, okay.
We just started that. We're 2 episodes in. Is it worth sticking with?
First season, I think, is really good. Yeah.
Okay.
What was the one George was always promoting, the real depressing? George, who thought Sanford and Son, he could barely watch it because it was too depressing
way
for
too
him.
Depressing.
But yet he
they
used
never
to watch,
sold anything.
Oh,
he used
I know
to watch
what you're
It Ends
about.
With Us.
This Is Us.
This is us. The most this depressing show since 30 something.
It was a little dramatic in parts, but it had its moments. Now that you're a father, I think you should go back and rewatch it.
Every scene there was soft piano music
yep.
and there was well, what do we do? This is something I can't even fathom. And we're going to get through this.
Don't interrupt it. We're playing an actual clip.
No, you're not either. It was an okay show.
But how did that, once again, trying to figure out the George algorithm is always incredibly difficult. Why was
I'm a
that,
complicated guy.
Why was that one okay, but Sanford and Son was too depressing?
You're talking about two totally different shows. A sitcom from the 70s and a drama from the aughts. Just a few years ago.
Why was one depressing and the other one wasn't?
Well, I don't know. They're, like I said, two totally different shows. One was supposed to be a comedy. That's where you go for laughs.
Right.
With this other one, you know.
But if you were to watch both right now, you would be more depressed by
Sanford
and Son.
This Is Us is about life, and life, a lot of life is sad.
So was Sanford and Son. He was just trying to make it, man.
Jokes, and there were funny jokes, but it was. They didn't sell one item, Gordon.
They did.
No, they didn't.
They did.
Now, you never saw a sale.
Well, they couldn't sell everything because Fred needed a lot of those glasses that he would pull out the drawer and search through to find his prescription. Okay.